Spencer Davis Group. Oh, I'm so glad we made it. Give them some lovin' on your lovin' radio station since 1926, known as WRJN. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and I'm so glad that we've made it to the hump of the week, because it is time to get over the hump with author, speaker, coach, Rick Jones, the writer of The Analog Advice in a Digital World, a baby boomer's words of wisdom for that millennial generation. Please welcome back to the community conversation line, Mr. Rick Jones. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, Mr. Klein. How are you, buddy?
I have no complaints, sir, but thank you for caring enough to ask.
You bet. That song, years ago, there was a guy named Hal Riney who was a great ad man out in West Coast, out in San Francisco, Hal Riney and Associates, and he was the guy that's probably best remembered for doing Ronald Reagan's re-election campaign called Morning in America. But he also did all of the Gallo wine advertising. And at one point, Gallo started taking, I think, some of their bad wine and making these things called California Coolers, if you may remember, which were wine coolers. And they used that song in the advertisement, and the tagline was California Coolers, the real stuff. But that song, that driving beat, every time I hear that, I remember that great ad campaign.
One of the tags that we have for the radio station here, because of the music we play, is the soundtrack for your life.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I remember about that song, every time I hear it, is the great scene in The Big Chill,
where they use
that song by the Spencer Davis Group. So where are you this morning?
I am in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, overlooking the Bowhicket River. It's about high tide and a little cloudy, but beautiful, beautiful day down here in the Lowcountry.
And where are you headed in the near future?
Heading north in the morning to Syracuse, New York, to kick off the ACC football tailgate tour. They play Colgate Friday night, and we'll make our debut with our weekly tailgate tour there at Syracuse.
The orange.
I'm looking forward to going. It'll be nice, much cooler weather, which will be a nice break from the humidity we've had down here.
Not the orange men, the orange now there.
The orange, correct. Yeah. Yes, we've got to be politically correct in every way possible, and they're the orange.
Did you see the report from the University of Chicago where their incoming freshmen were warned that they would not be coddled and there would be no safe zones, and they might be exposed to some thoughts that they might not agree with? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Oh, you got it. You got to Google that.
The point of college is to be exposed to points that you might not be familiar with. I would like to remind colleges that there are some conservative points that they would like to maybe teach to.
Well, it's made the national news, and right here in the Midwest, University of Chicago warning their freshmen that they might be exposed to some microaggressions from time to time. And that they're actually interested in having debate on a variety of issues, and speakers will not be canceled at the University of Chicago because they may hold some controversial views as far as the students are concerned.
Well, again, I think the point of college is to really broaden your horizons and to think things differently, and maybe sometimes to see things from someone else's perspective. So I do commend them on that. You know, we had the situation at the University of Missouri last year where the students protested a number of things, and ultimately the president of the university resigned, the football coach resigned, the athletic director resigned. And so at some point you need to remind students this is an educational forum. This is a place to learn. Don't have to agree with everything, but it's nice to see other people's points of view.
And a place to tailgate, too, before the football games.
Yes, I am excited about trying to sample the very best tailgating menus across the footprint of the Atlantic Coast Conference this year.
Well, you got to come this way. This is where we tailgate the best in the Big Ten.
Wisconsin, Camp Randall probably, if not arguably, one of the just best places in the country to watch college football, the jump around, just everything that goes on there. I believe it is one of the great, great places to go. I think it's the third oldest stadium in the country. Georgia Tech, where I'm a big Tech fan. They're the oldest continuously operating stadium in the country. Mississippi State is number two, and Wisconsin's number three.
Wow, that's I'm surprised that Camp Randall's older than the Big House in Michigan or
yeah, it is.
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the Badgers actually open up at Lambeau this weekend.
Which is a great, what a great game. ESPN Game Day is going to be there. That's pretty special, I think. And it was a tough ticket. I've got buddies that are LSU fans that have paid astronomical amounts of money.
Bring that
StubHub to get a ticket.
Bring that money to Wisconsin, baby.
Let me tell you. Yes, indeed.
Well, we're very proud as a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, as I am Badger, that once again, for the first time in many years, UW-Madison voted number one party school in the country. My niece Casey is starting her college career in Madison this week, and I posted a comment on the picture of her and my sister-in-law Elaine saying goodbye, and there were the tears and everything, and I said, and UW-Madison now again ranked number one party school. Woo-woo! Casey's mom.
You
Casey
had to rub that into her mother, didn't you?
Casey,
to make sure that something else for her to worry about.
Casey's mom did not like my comment, Rick.
No, I'm sure she didn't. Yeah. You know, it's funny. We got our little picture this morning of our niece Ansley in Casper, Wyoming, first day of kindergarten today, and my wife got some tears in her eyes today. It's like, oh no, the baby's going to kindergarten. But those are the rites of passages, and your niece now has an interesting rite of passage going to Madison.
She does indeed. Yeah. He is Uncle Rick Jones. He is also the author of the great book, Analog Advice in a Digital World. Here's what we do as we get over the hump with Rick every week. We take one chapter and we read it, because each chapter is just about a page long. And then we talk about the concepts in that chapter. And what we recommend is you do the same thing for your millennial, because it's a baby boomer's words of wisdom for the millennial generation. Get them the book. Just have them read one chapter a week. After a year, they'll have an entire book read. How about that? And then they have got all this great wisdom from coach and author and Uncle Rick Jones. We're on chapter 33 today, Rick. It's entitled, You Meet the Same People on the Way Up as You Do on the Way Down. If you're skimming, go back and reread the previous page. And the previous page was entitled, You Can Tell a Lot About a Man from the Way He Treats Janitors and Waffle House Waitresses. It's kind of funny how so many little people become really big people. George Bodenheimer, the retired president of ESPN, started his career at that company in the mailroom. I wonder how he was treated by the higher-ups when he was handing them their mail every day. I'll bet he never forgot where he came from, and neither did they. We're all on a journey, and we're all going to cross paths with lots of people along the way. Treat them all the way you'd want to be treated, and you'll be blessed with friends for life in both the good times and the bad. Boy, ain't that the truth.
You know, it really is. When George Bodenheimer retired at ESPN last year, the accolades that he had gotten from everybody within the system, you know, and so he was arguably the number two or three guy at the Walt Disney Company as the head of ESPN, and you know, he literally had started in the mailroom. That was his entry-level position at ESPN, and he just got high marks from everybody within the organization of being just such a high-character guy. And another person that this chapter reminds me of was the first President Bush. You know, on the way up, and clearly George Bush went way, way up, he would write notes, handwritten notes, to almost everyone he came in contact with. And then when he was in the White House, when he had arrived, they did, a study of White House staff of every walk of life that worked in the White House, and he got the highest marks of being the most gracious president that they had worked for. He remembered their families. He remembered their names. He remembered the previous conversations he had had with them. He got high marks. And then on the way down, remember, he had the very disappointed election where he lost the re-election to Bill Clinton, and yet he was so gracious to Bill Clinton. And then after Clinton's presidency, they joined forces to raise millions and millions of dollars for charity.
And they became very good friends.
Yeah, and so what a great example of the way up and the way down, and that the man treated people the same, no matter what direction he was going.
One of the disconcerting things about the Democratic nominee for President of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton, is that apparently she doesn't treat people very well behind the scenes. There's been a lot of reports from the Secret Service agents that protected President and First Lady Clinton during the first Clinton administration, shall we say, that was not complimentary about Grandma Hill.
I'm not surprised. You know, there are a lot of people that are in power that just mistreat people. And I guess they do it because they can. But it's a sad way to live your life. And I just really, truly believe that, you know, the way you treat people will ultimately be the lasting memory that they have of you, and it'll help you, you know, achieve success. And for millennials, I want them, you know, here's your niece going off to college. Treat everybody with a smile. Everybody. And, you know, I try to do that every day. I try to smile at people. It disarms people, but, you know, people smile back. It's just a great way, I think, it's a great way to treat folks, and then they in turn reciprocate back to you. I think it becomes kind of disarming today.
He is Rick Jones. He's in our power rotation on your radio friend. This is Glenn Klein. He wrote the book Analog Advice in a Digital World, a Baby Boomer's Words of Wisdom for the Millennial Generation. Another author that is in our power rotation is a guy named Rich Cohen, Rick, and he wrote and co-authored a book with a guy named Jerry Weintraub. And Weintraub, of course, is the famous entertainment mogul. And he was on last week, and he was telling a story about George H.W. Bush and Jerry Weintraub, who were very good friends. And he said that when Weintraub was up at Kennebunkport, Maine, visiting H.W. Bush, that he couldn't play golf with the president because that golf club wouldn't allow Jews. And so George H.W. Bush took it upon himself to make the golf club change that policy so that his friend Jerry Weintraub and then future Jewish people could play. And nobody ever knows that story.
No, I think that was probably would be one of hundreds of stories about President Bush quietly going about his way to do the right thing for people, just because he just genuinely liked and respected people of all walks of life. But what a great legacy, and what a great story for Jerry to tell, and think about others that benefited from that. And also the fact that at some point you make people realize, you know, your policies were wrong. They were wrong. But it takes someone, I think, with great character to, you know, risk, and he probably risked some things in order to be able to do that, but he didn't care.
Of course, he is held in tremendous esteem now, George H.W. Bush. I think in a lot of ways, even his son, George W. Bush, who, of course, becomes the 43rd president of the United States, has benefited from his dad's example in the post-presidency. I mean, he has really kept a low profile when he did not need to, with Barack Obama really trying to overturn so many of his policies, especially in the Middle East.
Well, I do believe that there's a special club of the men that have sat in that chair. And I think when you leave the White House, you do realize how difficult that job is. And I think they all or many have left there saying, especially the Bushes, I'm not going to meddle. I mean, I'm just not going to do that. You got enough issues without, you know, without me, you know, you picking up the paper every morning and reading that I'm criticizing you. So I commend the Bushes for doing that. I thought the senior did that with Clinton, and clearly W's done that with Barack Obama. So it's gratifying to see, you know, some class in our political system occasionally.
Well, we couldn't get through an entire segment without mentioning Donald J. Trump. And if there's anything that has characterized his public persona and especially his rise to political power is the exact opposite of the way that George H.W. Bush has conducted his life publicly. And I think of all the things and reasons not to vote for Donald Trump, it's because of the way he treats other people?
You know, when I would hire people over the years in my marketing agencies, I usually looked for a personality profile. And that profile was someone that either played a team sport or played in a band or participated in a play. Because I wanted people that would say we instead of me. And Trump never says we, ever. It's always me. It's always I. And let's face it, the presidency of the United States, you're the head coach of a team of people that have to get things done. And I just really believe that, you know, and we've talked about this before, I really believe that the real key job of the president of the United States is to be the head coach for the country. And that's for everybody. You know, the interesting about coaches, I mean, we'll watch the start of college football season this weekend. Unlike academic professors, coaches can't fail players. I mean, you can't. You got to make them succeed. Whereas, you know, a psychology professor can say, he failed. Well, you can't do that as a coach. And I think that's what the president has to do. He has to make sure that all people, even those that disagree with him vehemently, have the ability to succeed in America. I don't think Trump has that capability.
Nope. Well, if you want to succeed and have your millennials succeed, get the book, Analog Advice in a Digital World, A Baby Boomer's Words of Wisdom for That Millennial Generation. He's Rick Jones. It's available at Amazon, at AdvantageFamily.com, at Rick's own website, FishbaitMarketing.com. Always a pleasure. Enjoy that weather up there in upstate New York, my friend.
Thank you, and have a great Labor Day weekend. See you, buddy.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
More pertinent information coming your way after WRJN covers the world with your Hump Day Hour of Power.
Flying to Cuba, Trump in Mexico. I'm Michael Toscano, JetBlue Flight 3.